Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we have returning guests. You're one of, like, how many returning guests have you had? Three?
Maybe three.
Maybe
if
three.
If that many.
Really?
We're selective.
I feel like...
No, we're not. We don't care.
I feel like maybe four.
Okay. Well, today, Charles Matthew Haynes.
Well, there's only one of me, Charles Matthew Haynes.
Haynes. Well, yeah. Well, you don't know that. What if there's a multiverse?
Well, there is. Joshua Leonard, this other director, looks a lot like me. And like regularly, like people will see us and be like, wait a minute, there's this other guy. And I almost, his editor almost hugged me once. She like walked up to, and started to hug me. And then it was like, you're not Josh Leonard.
There
are other me's out there, but they have different names.
Okay. So just one Haynes, though.
Yeah. Just one. It's a common mistake because of the underwear.
It's true. That's the first thing I thought. I'm like, man, I wonder.
It's spelled differently, though.
I wonder if he's the heir to the Haynes fortune.
That would be nice.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I would not complain about underwear money. But
free? And also free underwear for life?
I don't wear Haynes. I don't like them. They're cut weird.
Oh, man. We can get into this. This could be an hour conversation, but we're not.
Is there an underwear podcast?
There should be. We should be sponsored by Haynes, dude.
But we don't talk about underwear. This is the first time we've ever talked about Haynes.
Best underwear in film. Tom
okay,
Cruise.
Well, that's another episode.
Tidy Whities. All right. So today we're talking about sophomore films. That was it. We didn't really specify a lot. So I'm interested to see where people took it. Charles, do you want to go first or last?
I'll go last.
Okay. So Adam, you're going to have to go first.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been so long since I had to go first.
Does anybody want to talk about any movies they've seen in theaters or anything?
I really liked Inherent Vice.
You liked it?
I liked it a lot. I guess it's one of my favorite P.T. Anderson movies now.
Really?
But I'm not the super fan that everyone else is. I only like a couple of them.
Did you like There Will Be Blood?
I did.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. Okay, so third favorite. It's in the top three.
Okay. Jenny, anything new?
I just started True Detectives, but that's not a movie.
But you're loving it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to skip the podcast and watch more True Detectives.
Which would be a better... I would excuse that over the migraine. I'd be like, you know what? I understand you. Don't come here for 2 weeks until you're done. Or however long it takes you.
Yeah.
If it takes you 2 weeks to do True Detective, you've got a very busy life.
Maybe.
Like, I did it in like 2 days.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, unless you're like my brother and you just start watching it again right after you finish it.
You just
keep repeating it.
Life is a circle. You know, it's like a flat disc.
It's true. Charles, anything you've seen in theaters lately?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't think I've been to the movies in a month, which like for me is, yeah, I know.
So the last time you went to the movies, Bloodsport was out.
Bloodsport?
Yeah.
I don't think I saw Bloodsport.
That's from the
80s. I'm just waiting on Inherent Vice.
That's going to be amazing. Now I can't wait to see it.
That and Top 5 in one weekend, it's going to be great.
Yes, I want to see Top 5.
Yeah.
I love Chris Rock. Even when he's like, I loved him in the sequel to the...
Grown Ups?
Two Days in Paris? Two Days in New York.
Oh, yeah. Two Days in New York. He's really good in that.
I love that movie. Julie Delpy. Right?
Delpy. You always, I don't know what, you get like dyslexia for her name where you always flip
every
two letters.
I mess up everybody's last name.
This is true.
Haynes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm all over the place. So let's get to it. Sophomore films.
Oh.
I'm ready. Adam, what do you
got? I'm not because my phone just crashed because I need to update something.
You and your
I know, I'm sorry.
Fives.
It's terrible. I know, I got a 5 still.
You
no, not even a 5. I have a 4. It's even worse.
You and your Motorola Razr.
Stop judging. Hey, at least it's better than Brandon's Samsung.
It's true. He doesn't have the app for IMDb.
Okay. So. My number 5. All right, my number 5 from 1984. Johnny Dangerously.
Ooh.
Directed by Amy Heckerling. After Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You know what? I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
I love that movie.
I gotta rewatch it.
It's so good.
What's the synopsis, real quick?
I don't even remember the synopsis of this movie. I just remember loving it. Like, it's just Michael Keaton being awesome. And funny, and it's a 30s like send up of the Jimmy Cagney movies, the gangster movies. Him and Joe Piscopo just being hilarious.
It might be Joe Piscopo's best role.
I definitely would agree with that.
And then they peel the shelf paper off the car.
Yes.
I rewatched that scene like on VHS like a dozen times as a child. I wore out
it's like
the scene.
After they commit a robbery and they're listening to the police radio, and every time they say they spot them, they peel a layer.
We see a black car.
I gotta rewatch.
And they're
this.
Always dead on. Like, oh, it's like it's a. It looks like it's now got sailboats with wagon wheels. I don't know. But yeah, it's hilarious. Michael Keaton at his best in his prime. Mary Lou Henner is also in it. Maureen Stapleton, Peter Boyle. It's really, if you haven't seen Johnny Dangerously, I feel like it was on constant rotation on Comedy Central in like the 90s. So if you were hanging out and you were either in your teens or a stoner in the 90s, you probably saw it a lot.
You had to be a stoner.
You didn't have to. No, I'm just saying, like,
it helped.
If you were like a teenager or a stoner or just stay-at-home mom or something, you probably watched Johnny Dangerously a lot in the 90s.
Nice. I got to rewatch that, damn it. So what was Amy's first movie? Was it
Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
But did she co-write that, or was it just Cameron Crowe?
Cameron Crowe wrote it.
Solo.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, she might have helped him with the script, considering he was...
She's had her miss lately, isn't she?
I mean, she was kind of hit or miss after Johnny Dangerously. She did the Look Who's Talking and...
Clueless was good.
I'm okay with Clueless.
I still like Night of the Roxbury.
She did that?
I didn't even know she did that.
That's awesome.
Also,
look at Jenny pulling.
I just read it off.
You could have fucking lied to us.
I didn't want to fool people.
What were you going to say, Charles? I cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, is the first Look Who's Talking terrible? I don't remember, but
I
like,
don't. What? Actually, you know what? She did the two good ones. She didn't do the random third one.
Look Who's Talking Now?
Yeah, with the dogs.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't good. I haven't seen it in a while.
European
I was a kid.
Vacation. I'm sorry. I take that back. I don't have a problem with Amy Heckerling. Really? Yeah. I really think the only low point was probably Loser.
What's Loser?
Oh, it was
Jason Biggs.
Oh my gosh. It was a bastardized adaptation of The Apartment.
With Jason Biggs.
Jason Biggs and Mina Savari.
You know
oh
what?
Oh my gosh, and the guy from Newsroom.
Yes.
I love that guy.
It's not that bad.
Thomas Sadowski.
When you know that it's a bastardized remake of The Apartment, it is.
I guess so. I didn't mind it at the time.
You have a double feature with that in Boys and Girls?
Maybe.
I liked it at the time, but that was like my type of movie in 2000. So
I was on a Jason Biggs kick, you know.
I loved Jason
Saving
Biggs.
Silverman.
Yeah,
I watched that. I watched the R version too. There was the PG-13 was the theatrical release, and then I went and searched it out unrated. I wanted to see it. So that is your number five.
That's my number five.
Johnny Dangerously. All right, Amy Heckerling.
Let me see that.
All right, for my number five, I picked a movie. Actually, I didn't like the sophomore film. I went negative on this. The first movie, loved. I was excited. Then they're like, you know what? This guy's making his second movie. And I was like, sign me up. I'm going to go see it. And then they released The Brown Bunny. And I was like, what's going on, guys? You know, in its defense, it's not a bad movie until the blowjob scene.
Yeah, but when a blowjob scene makes a movie worse.
Yeah, that doesn't speak well of the movie.
You're right. You're like, there's someone giving a blowjob, and that makes it worse.
An unsimulated blowjob.
Yeah. Well, he still stands by that?
No, it's not him. It's the guy she was dating at the time. Like, that's public now.
Yeah.
Like, that's not Vincent Gala.
But that still doesn't mean that it's still unsimulated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it goes on a while, right? I've never seen the movie.
It goes on a while.
Yeah, and not in a good way. You're like, not like, oh, this is cool.
Well, it's because of the stuff. It's because of the stuff that Vincent Gallo is saying off camera. It's like,
yeah,
oh, don't say that.
Yeah,
It's just an uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, it's.
Well, I think
it's uncomfortable.
I think it is Vincent Gallo because she was dating him at the time, so it might be Vincent Gallo. I don't know, but there's a non-simulated blowjob in it.
As I remember it, just based on the memory of the scene, I feel like it was him because like when he's done, like it's one shot.
It goes up or to his face. Or
yeah,
something, right.
Like you see him.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem like a movie they would spend for digital effects.
My friend was a PA on that movie.
Was he in there for that day?
he was not there for that day, but he met Vincent Gallo in if you guys have driven to Vegas, there's that weird Greek restaurant on the 10 in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
He met that. That's where like he had his first meeting with Vincent Gallo about really? Working on that project. Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds about right. I think I don't remember what random Hollywood bar I was at when I saw Vincent Gallo. But I was like, hey, there's Vincent Gallo being all Vincent Gallo-y.
Well, in a bar you think you'd be at, that's where he's probably at. Same thing with Crispin Glover in Hollywood. When you think, like, this is a weird bar. This is somewhere where Crispin Glover would be. He's probably there.
See, I never
saw him randomly.
I never saw him at bars. I would always see him at health food stores.
Gallo?
No, Crispin Glover.
He's creepy, dude.
Gallo, actually, is very healthy. And my friend who works at Whole Foods, he, like, picked her up, got her number. They've hung out a couple times.
Really?
So he's interested in the Whole Foods ladies. He likes them healthy.
Yeah, well, that's good. And then they give him a discount, too, probably. I assume if they work there, they're going to get a discount. So, but yeah, so Vincent Gallo's first movie is Buffalo 66, and I loved it. I loved Christina Ricci in it. What's his face? Mickey Rourke is in it. Kevin, is it Corrigan? He's in it.
Ben Gazzara.
Ben Gazzara.
Yeah, Ben Gazzara, yeah. And Angelica Houston.
Yeah, and the cinematography by Lance Accord, which looks beautiful. And then I was so looking forward to Brown Bunny. And then all the controversy, and I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, like, it's still going to be good. And then I went to see it, and I was like, oh, man, I wasted my money.
Was that, like, 2005?
The Brown Bunny?
Yeah.
That was 2003.
2003.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Yeah, I don't need to see it.
It did lead to a fun fight between him and Roger Ebert. Right?
That's right.
So we got that out
That's
of it.
That's right. Well, Roger Ebert, Roger Ebert.
We know you in last names.
Yeah. He at first said it was the worst movie he'd ever seen. But then I think he saw like a recut version of it. And then he was like, well, it's not the worst movie he's seen. But it's like, it's up there.
Well, yeah. But then Vincent Gallo said, well, yeah, but Roger Ebert's fat.
Yeah.
And then Roger Ebert said, well, yeah, but one day I'll be dead and I won't be fat anymore. And you still will have directed The Brown Bunny.
And like, he burned him.
Yeah.
Good burn.
Ebert's good at the burn.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't see it the year it came out. I saw it years later on DVD, I want to say. But I remember I was working on set on Dr. Vegas as an extra. And this other guy was obsessed with this movie. He just
really?
Wouldn't stop talking about Brown Bunny.
He's like, there's no bunnies in it, but it's still good.
It's so good. You gotta go see it. It's oh, there's this one scene that you'll know what I'm talking about when you go see it. I'm like, I'm not gonna go see it.
Yeah, no, that was like the most. Yeah, I'm not gonna go on, but it wasn't entertaining. I was like, why didn't you cut this? Like, if you had tested the movie, you would have seen.
Yeah, something tells me Vincent Gallo doesn't test his movies.
No,
no.
So that is my number five, The Brown Bunny. Jenny.
All right, so for my first one, for my number five, I went with a newer duo. They've only done like a handful of movies, but I like most of their movies, and I like the second one, actually. I picked Phil Lord and Christopher Miller.
Ooh.
And their second movie was 21 Jump Street.
What was their first?
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know how if they went up or down, but
I remember enjoying it.
Did you?
In my scale of movies for kids, it's not a kids movie that would make me resent having children.
That's good. And then they did Lego Movie, which
yes.
is also another one
also,
that would not
I
make you resent
love
children.
Lego Movie. Way yeah. better than Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah. And in one of the Sony hacks, they released that they're looking to do a new 21 Jump Street mixed with MIB.
Yeah, crossover.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. So the men.
Wait, no. In what world does that make sense?
I know. That's what I said.
Here's the thing. Tommy Lee Jones doesn't want to come back for the next one. Neither, I think, does Will Smith. So
neither,
Will Smith.
No, none of them.
Will Smith
back.
Will come in for 5 minutes. They'll pay him a lot of money, like Johnny Depp did, or like Brando in Superman. And he'll come in and he'll go recruit the two dudes from 21 Jump Street into the Men in Black.
That's gonna be amazing. That's pretty good.
And then they now leave the 21 Jump Street franchise, and now they're then the Men in Black franchise.
That's crazy.
Well, no. But the biggest problem with that is, what do you call it? 23 in Black?
I know.
23 in Black.
Yes. You yeah, should go copyright that.
That's
get that website right now.
Yeah. While we're on the... Yeah.
Well, and make sure you put
before
dash
we
the movie.
Before we air this, yeah, you should go lock that down.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be a great idea. I actually think it'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, it could I'd be watch good. That. Jonah Hill's up for it, so.
Yeah.
And he's going to be good, as long as they can get Channing Tatum, too, because I like them together.
As long as they get these guys to direct and not Barry
Sonnenfeld. Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
I'll see anything with C. Tate's in it, I'll be honest. That guy's awesome.
I know, right?
Yeah.
What did you call him?
C. Tate's.
I never heard that. I love that.
I completely agree. I love everything he's done. I'm the person that is always telling everybody, no, this is why he's awesome. And everyone's like, I don't know.
Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
I love that guy, man.
You just make people watch Magic Mike and you're like, holy shit. That guy's great.
It takes so much effort to make people watch Magic Mike. I struggle and struggle and
finally. It takes so much effort to make people think Channing Tatum's a great actor. It's a hard thing.
I'm not going to lie. I'm looking forward to Magic Mike Part 2.
I know, right?
It's actually Magic Mike XXL.
I'll take it anywhere I can, you know?
I think that you might want to change that phrasing.
Yep.
I stand by it.
Okay.
And so all the filmography is Meatballs, and then the two movies.
21
and, then,
and 22 Jump Street and Lego Movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're good.
And they write. Did TV too, right?
Yeah, they did the first episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And
but didn't they come from TV? They had a TV show.
Yeah, they came from TV. I thought they were like writers.
Oh, it says Clone High.
Yeah, Clone High. That's the one. Awesome show.
So they went from TV, live action TV, to
animated TV.
Oh, okay.
They went from Clone High to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which I think is the reason why I was looking forward to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs because the Clone High guys were doing it.
You liked Clone High? I've never even heard of it.
It's hilarious.
What's it about?
It's about a high school.
It says the greatest minds of the world have been cloned and are now attending high school.
The main character is a teenage clone of Abe Lincoln.
Oh, really?
His best friend is a teenage clone of Gandhi.
What channel was it on?
It was on MTV.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like, okay. That makes sense.
It was hilarious.
Oh, I
can't believe you guys don't know this show.
No. I am so sorry. I am so sorry, Adam.
I don't watch a lot of MTV, though.
I'm going to shake my head in
disdain. That's the one thing that I haven't seen that disappoints you. Clone High.
You're like, fuck all the classic movies. Clone High. Right. So, Charles, what do you got for us?
So my number 5 was Eternal Sunshine.
Ooh. Yeah.
I sort of skewed the list for like sophomore efforts that where I didn't like the freshman effort. Because there's the sophomore slump, which is definitely a thing.
Which is why
I sort of picked the list, right? Because like that's a thing that we talk about in music all the time, but we never really talk about in movies.
Yeah.
So I tried to pick movies where I was like, I wasn't that excited about it. Because I was like, I just don't like Human Nature, his first movie. I think it's kind of like silly and goofy. And
yeah.
And then Eternal Sunshine.
I concur.
Yeah.
It's such a weird movie.
But it's not weird in like the Science of Sleep way where it's like charming. It's just like, it just doesn't quite fire.
I feel like it was both of them. Because it's Kaufman and Gondry, and it's like both of them aren't at the top of their game yet.
Yeah. But Eternal Sunshine, I probably watch at least once a year, and I have since it came out, and it continues to hold up.
Yeah.
And like, so that was, it was my number 5.
And so let's go really quick. So it's Human Nature, right? First one. Then Eternal Sunshine. Mm-hmm. Then Science of Sleep.
Did he do something in between?
I don't think so.
It wasn't.
Be Kind, Rewind is next, I think.
Oh, it's after.
Yeah. I think it is after.
Block Party.
Oh, Block Party.
That's
right. I loved Block Party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Block Party's good.
I thought that was great.
I lived a couple blocks from where that Block Party was this summer, and literally everyone who gave me a tour of the neighborhood was like, this is where Block Party was filmed. So it is like the biggest thing to have happened in that neighborhood in a long time.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't a big fan of Be Kind, Rewind. Were you? Were you guys?
No.
Jack Black has to be in the right role, and then I love him. Like, High Fidelity, Jack Black, perfect.
Bernie? Have you guys seen Bernie?
Oh, Bernie. He's phenomenal in Bernie.
Yeah.
He's so good in Bernie.
Yeah.
But Be Kind, Rewind, he was amped up a little too high for me.
Yeah. I feel like Michelle Gondry, when he's not doing Charlie Kaufman stuff, he gets a little crazy. Like, he goes off the rails, but... it takes two crazies to
I was going
to
say, it's an interesting argument that Charlie Kaufman really grounds him in reality and like brings him back to
it takes two crazy guys to make a sane movie.
Yeah, Well, they're very different kinds of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. Charlie Kaufman on his own, writing Synecdoche, New York, was just like, let us go for...
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Let's make a 10-hour movie.
I'm still not ready to revisit it. Like, I feel like I need to, but I just remember being so bummed out.
Yeah.
I was like,
Well, and now PSH is gone. Yeah, I don't know that I'm ever going to watch Synecdoche, New York again. I don't know that I can handle both
the emotion of the movie and the emotion of
Hoffman. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. It was hard watching the last Hunger Games because of that.
Really? Is he big in that? I haven't seen those movies.
He has a couple of big scenes. I mean, he's peppered throughout the whole movie. And I was like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's all. It would take me out of the movie a little bit.
And then his last movie, that thriller by Anton Corbijn.
A Most Dangerous Man.
Yeah.
Wait, so you didn't see that one?
I didn't.
Okay.
That one was super heavy anyway. It was great, really? But it is super heavy. And then you're watching and you're like, wow, this is a dark, heavy movie. And he's dead.
I dig Anton Corbijn.
I thought
Corbijn.
He had the one other one. That was the last one? I thought there was
that was movie. Marketed as his last movie, but who knows if that's actually...
What was the other...
I think the last...
God's Pocket. I don't even remember that coming out. The one with John Turturro?
I remember that coming out.
Okay.
It was out for like 2 weeks and then it kind of went away.
Okay.
But I think the last thing he actually filmed was the Hunger Games stuff. Because he was still on...
Well, yeah, because that one was still technically in production, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, The Most Dangerous Man, it was definitely the overriding feeling. I was like, oh, this was it.
And then Corbin,
and I also knew the also ending, like the whole time, like I know exactly what's going to happen because they had a shitty trailer.
I got to check it out. Is it on DVD now?
I don't know if it's out yet, but you do need to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. So, Michel Gondry, your number five. Adam, what do you got?
All right. Number four, 2012, Seven Psychopaths.
Ooh, honorable mention. I literally just moved it out of the five.
I feel like most people didn't like this movie. I feel like most people were saying that they thought it was self-indulgent, but I didn't care. I fucking loved it. I love Christopher Walken in this movie, and I'm sorry, but Tom Waits holding a bunny rabbit the entire movie is just hilarious to me.
But have you seen like Christopher Walken in The Rundown?
I have seen Christopher Walken in The Rundown.
Yeah.
And you would... Okay.
I know. I love Christopher Walken in The Rundown. That's the thing. Like, the only thing that would make me question Christopher Walken is Peter Pan Live, which I refuse to watch.
It's crazy. I'm Hook. My hand.
I still need to see it.
How many times have you done that? Did that just
too
happen
many
right
times.
Now?
Too many times. No. That's why I didn't laugh.
I've been perfecting it. I've been,
he's been working on it for a while.
Because it's good. It's... How much do you love In Bruges, though? Because I hated Seven Psychopaths, so hearing that you loved it...
I did, but I loved In Bruges also.
I love In Bruges so much that on a European vacation, I'm like, we got
to
stop
fucking
Bruges.
Yeah, he made his girlfriend, or his fiancé now, but girlfriend at the time, go to Bruges.
Yeah, Bruges should pay those producers money.
Yeah, guess what? I was in Bruges for like a total of 4 hours, and I'm like, we shouldn't spend the night fucking here. It's fucking boring. We did the tower. Let's fucking go home.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie. Like, if you've seen the movie more than twice, you've gotten more pleasure out of the movie than you did out of the town.
And everything shuts down like at 8:30. Everything is shut down. Like the movie. Like there's nothing to do.
Wait, guys, we can't talk about. I'm gonna try to get Savannah to go there for our honeymoon too.
Well, she doesn't listen to the show. So.
She does.
Does she?
She and my mom.
Oh, okay.
Not together though.
Oh, that'd be cute though. Yeah.
Like they're sharing one earbud and then one. Yeah.
Or they do it through Skype. They're like, all right, we're going to play together at the same time.
Neither of them use Skype. Savannah's afraid of Skype.
No.
I've never used Skype before. I don't know how it works.
How old are you? Are you like 74?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I know everybody hates Seven Psychopaths.
It's terrible.
I don't know. I can't help it. I just love it. There's something about all the craziness in it. I do acknowledge that it is very self-indulgent, but I just love all the crazy characters.
I do too. I don't mind. I didn't mind all the shit talking people were doing. I loved it.
It's a great Sam Rockwell performance.
Yeah, like Sam Rockwell's amazing. I'm so mad that I didn't keep because I went to a screening of it and they handed out the hats, the little dog hats that he's wearing, like the beanie that he's wearing, and I didn't grab one. Could have got one for free. I hadn't watched the movie yet. It was before the movie. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what this is.
Always grab free stuff.
I know.
and then assess later. Then toss it.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Oh man,
I really enjoyed it. I understand why people don't like it, but I still love it.
I'm looking forward to, and I like his brother too. His brother did Calvary, and then
that's what I thought.
The Guard.
Yeah, Well, yeah. The guard, then Galvin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're both, I dig both of them. And I like the plays.
Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah.
Six Shooter is also very good.
That's the one he got an Oscar for, right?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Best short subject, yeah.
Wow. I got to check that out. But I like everything they've done. The plays he's done. The
Pillowman?
Pillowman, Lieutenant of Ishmore, I think.
I don't.
They're both great. Pillowman's dark, man.
No. He would do something dark?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
So that is your number
four.
Four. For my number four, I picked... Oh, man, I got two Brad Pitt movies here. I picked David Fincher. I had to. So I picked Seven. Seven was his second movie. The first one he did was Alien 3, right? Or Aliens 3.
Alien 3.
Alien 3.
Not Aliens 3.
I haven't too many. Seen that movie since it came out. So
you haven't seen Alien 3?
No. Not since like it first came out and I owned
it. Yeah, you own the quadrilogy. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. But I fucking love Seven.
Well, who doesn't love Seven?
That's true.
My mom loves Seven.
I love David Fincher. And it's a great script. Andrew Kevin Walker writing the script. There's a Andrew Kevin Walker Batman script that never got made that I read that's pretty cool. It's like dark.
Which one is
hard
it?
Hard R. It's the one with I can't remember the name of it. Something. I think it's the one with Asylum in it, in the title.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really good. But anyway, Seven is amazing. I don't know. I mean, I guess it comes from music videos, but everything just looks so like aesthetically perfect. Like everything looks beautiful. And I don't know if you guys watched the I forgot who did the video essay where they broke down Seven and they broke down like his shots, like the ones he picks, and they broke down the script with the shots he picked, and like it's pretty amazing like what they came up with. I can't even like go over what the guy was talking about, but it was insane, like how like it was all about like emotion and then character, and like how he doesn't really do close-ups unless like he really needs them to show something with character, and like it was insane, like it was like a 30-minute like video essay. It's on YouTube. I'll try to post it with this episode, but it's pretty cool. So that's it. David Fincher, my number four.
All right. So for my number four, I picked Kevin Smith with Mallrats.
You liked?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bold statstatement. And I thought I was the Kevin Smith fan.
Apparently not. Jenny's bigger.
Apparently so. Apparently.
Why?
I don't. That's. It's just not as.
Oh, I love Mallrats.
I do love Mallrats.
Mallrats is the first movie I saw of his.
I think it was my first movie I saw of his too.
So there's like a. I hold it close to my heart.
Wait, no. Chasing Amy. It was the first one I saw.
And that's your favorite.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite.
See, she has a great theory about music, and it holds true for music, for movies as well, that the first thing you saw from that director or artist is what you like the most.
The first album I usually hear from an artist, I tend to like the most for some reason.
That makes sense.
And Mallrats was the first movie you saw?
Yeah. I like it a lot. I don't know if it's... I will say Dogma might be my favorite because I saw that one more than Mallrats, but Mallrats is still high up there.
I just recently rewatched Dogma, and man, it's not good.
Really? I haven't rewatched it in years.
And I used to love Dogma. Like, I loved it. And then I rewatched it, and I'm like, oh, man.
I probably haven't rewatched it since high school. Still, Kevin Smith.
I mean, having not watched it in the last year, I still say that I enjoy Dogma. But, I mean... It can't be his worst because Tusk came out this year, and that was.
I was going to say, did anybody here see Tusk?
I saw Tusk. I saw it opening weekend.
No.
You saw it opening weekend?
Opening weekend.
I'm not that. I don't like Kevin Smith.
And
that much.
It hurt.
Really?
It hurt right where my heart's supposed
to
be.
Really?
Yeah.
What was bad about it?
I listened to the podcast episode, so I didn't need to watch the movie.
Oh.
Like, it's. Yeah. It's just. It's so inside and self, like it's self-indulgent.
I like Red State though.
I do like Red State, but Tusk was just, even as someone who like knew all the references that they were making and like I knew everything that was happening, like it was just like, this isn't a movie. It's not a movie.
Ugh.
It's worse than Cop Out.
worse than Cop Out. I would actually buy Cop Out because Tracy Morgan's hilarious. Like everything around the main character of Cop Out, I'm okay with. It's just that Bruce Willis kind of and Kevin Smith's editing action dragged that movie down. Like he shouldn't
edit. Also, the bad guy was terrible.
I don't even remember who the bad guy was.
Exactly.
Who's the bad guy?
It's a cop movie. It was terrible. Whatever it was awful. Whoever it was, I was like, no, this is the worst. And you could just watch 5 episodes of 30 Rock if you wanted some more Tracy
this
Morgan.
This is true. That's true. This is very true. That's why I don't actually own it. But if someone gave it to me, I would watch it for Tracy Morgan.
If it were on an airplane menu and you only had 5.
No, even then, because the last airplane menu I was like privy to, I had to pay for. So.
Oh, bastards.
Yeah, I was United.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Fucking, I never saw Jersey Girl either.
I like Jersey Girl.
Jersey Girl's not... well, again, categorically, none of his movies can be the worst movies compared to Tusk at this point. It is physically impossible.
Which sort of argues against podcasts.
Well,
that was a specious argument, by the way.
I think it's an argument against adapting a podcast episode to become a movie. Like, I don't think we should adapt any of our episodes.
I'm going
to
adapt this episode.
No, we can't.
Wait,
we can't.
Was it a real episode?
It was an episode. Yeah. Like, oh. they were on an episode, and they talk about this story. Like, he was reading something from a Canadian newspaper about someone posted this ad saying they wanted someone to... they could have a room in their house for free, but they had to dress like a walrus. And so they just... he and Scott Mosier just ran with it and were joking around. And then at the end of the episode, he's like, no, I want to make this movie. And so he asks the followers, like, oh, hey, should I make this movie? And there was an overwhelming demand for it. So he made it.
Of course there was.
Ugh.
Because everyone wants to do Kevin Smith, apparently. All of his fans love him. Like, they love him. They will sit through hours of him talking about nonsense.
They have he has a dedicated community.
Yes, that's
like, but to say that everyone loves him ignores the fact that his dedicated community is pretty small. I mean, not physically individually, but as a percentage of the population.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like I should be offended by that because until Tusk, opening weekend, I was there.
Yeah.
I saw that movie. I'm still going to see the next one. It's probably not an opening weekend.
It's another Canada joke, right?
Yeah.
It's the Great North Trilogy. He's doing Yoga Hosers, and then he's doing Moose Jaws, which is what you think. It's Jaws, but with a moose.
Is it going to be called Moose Jaws?
It's called Moose Jaws.
Wow.
So sad. Yeah. It hurts my soul. Like, the 16-year-old version to me is inside crying, like, inside where my heart's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do?
But Mallrats is still
funny. But Mallrats is still funny.
Yes.
Did you see Chasing Amy?
Yeah, it's been a while,
okay,
though.
Okay. No, Mallrats is cool, and it's cool seeing, like, all those guys now, like, Ben Affleck and stuff, and Jason Lee, like, oh,
yeah, I still like Mallrats. If it comes on TV, I'll watch it.
Yeah, yeah. But I think I'm with Adam. My favorite one is Chasing Amy.
Clerks.
Really?
Clerks is just so good, and he's so relaxed, and he hasn't built a persona for himself yet. He's just doing what
That's
he likes,
true.
And
That's
like,
true. Yeah,
that big elaborate sequence where they play hockey on the roof, and it's like, if you've ever had a shitty job, like, I don't know, it just nails it in this great way, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Try not to suck any dicks on your way to the parking lot.
Kevin Smith. All right. Mallrats. We talked about everything but Mallrats. We went into detail about every movie but Mallrats. All right.
We'll try to hang out in the mall.
Yeah. And the rats. What is your number 4?
So my number 4 is Dazed and Confused. I can't even finish Slacker. I know I should be able to finish Slacker.
I can't either.
You shouldn't be able to finish Slacker because it's not that great.
I couldn't either. I tried it.
The best thing about Slacker is that it inspired Kevin Smith to make Clerks.
Oh.
Oh, that's interesting.
I would argue that the best thing about Slacker is that it put him in a position where he could get Dazed and Confused.
Okay. Second best thing about Slacker is that it inspired Kevin Smith to make Clerks.
Dazed and Confused. I was in New York all summer and there was an outdoor screening in June and and it was like 400 hipsters watching Dazed and Confused on a big outdoor screen, chanting along to the lines. And I was like, this is every time I watch that movie, even if I think I'm just going to stay for 10 minutes, I'm still there 2 hours later. Like, I just, it's just perfect.
Yeah.
And like, look, there's fans of Slacker. They're not fans of Slacker. I really like Linklater's career because he's uneven. He's not afraid to try stuff. He pushes himself to do interesting things. I don't always want to go where he wants to go, but he is, when he nails it, for me, he really nails it. But Dazed and Confused is just this, like, portrait of time slipping through your fingers that's so good.
You know how a lot of directors say, like, oh, I want to do one for me and then one for the studio. And
yeah.
their track record doesn't show that. But it does with Linklater. Like, and actually, it's more for himself. But the ones that he does for the studio, some of them I don't mind. Like, I didn't mind Bad News Bears. I mean, it's totally different than the original. But it's Billy Bob Thornton. And
it's a pretty good Billy Bob performance.
Yeah.
I haven't paid for sex in years. It's a pretty great line on a date.
And I love Slacker. I'm one of the guys who loves Slacker. How far do you guys get in?
I got maybe...
Madonna's Pap smear?
I didn't even get that far.
Really?
I didn't know what you're talking about. No, yeah. I got maybe like the second story
really
into it.
Or
the third, maybe.
I finished Slacker, but fortunately it was after I had seen Dazed and Confused. I feel like this is fitting that Charles and Jenny's go back to back, because that was my middle school. It was rotation of these two movies and Empire Records.
Yeah,
that was basically every week of middle school.
That's a lot of Liv Tyler.
It's a lot of Liv Tyler.
Wow,
she, I didn't even think about that.
She's also that's right. Damn. It's funny going back to see Dazed and Confused, because you're like I always discover somebody new. Like, I'm like, oh my god, I forgot this person was in this.
Oh yeah, not just Ben Affleck, but the other guy who's. Oh, you're gonna have to edit this out, because saying the other guy is not that fascinating.
Adam Goldberg.
I want to say Conrad Bain, but that's a character.
Cole
from
Hauser.
Cole Hauser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is.
It's a good engine.
We stop giving away all the beer.
Everyone's great in this movie.
Who's the guy? See, this is the. I don't mind saying the guy, because I really don't know this guy's name, but the guy who plays the crazy floater guy who hangs out with the jocks and the stoners.
Oh, that guy. The guy who's like, yeah.
Who's like really amped up all
and
the time.
And he's wearing the overalls.
He's wearing
no
overalls,
shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
Who's that? Like,
I don't know.
He's really good in this movie. I have no idea what else he's been. I feel like he played like, I want to say he played one of the douchebag. Oh, no. He's in like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Is he?
I think he's like the first dude who dies in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie. The movie. But I don't know his name at all.
He's no Cole Hauser. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I mean,
very few people are. Cole Hauser's pretty solid.
Cole Hauser has surprised me with like some stuff he's done. Like, he did The Breakup, and he was amazingly funny on that.
I think his name might be Sasha Jensen.
Yes, that's it. That's him.
Oh, and Jason London, Pink Floyd. I forgot about him.
Anthony Rapp before Rent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Posey. Giovanni Ribisi's sister.
I don't know her name.
Something Ribisi?
Something.
She's now married to Beck.
Marissa Ribisi. Mm. That makes sense. They're both Scientologists. Joey Lauren Adams.
Yeah.
The girl who looks like Phoebe Cates.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
I'm sorry. I don't know her name, but she looks like Phoebe Cates, and she plays Wiley, what's his name's older sister.
Yeah.
Also, it gave us the fucking McConaughey.
It did.
Like, that's a gift.
That's
a gift, that keeps on giving.
Yeah, that's it. Not only gave us McConaughey, but the famous line.
The famous lines. Basically, anything you said in that movie.
Yeah.
Wait, did we say Rory Cochran? Because I love him. There was a lot of Rory Cochran. Because Rory Cochran is in this and Empire Records.
Renee Zellweger's in it.
Yeah, she's one of the bitchy girls.
Oh yes.
So is Mila Jovovich.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
she's not a bitchy girl, but she's in there too.
Yeah.
She says. I don't think she has like one line in the movie. Because she plays
the sister, right?
No, the drug dealer's girlfriend.
Okay.
I think she like sings a song, and that might be the only line.
But she's in a lot of scenes.
She's in a lot of scenes. She just doesn't say anything.
She was super pretty, so I noticed her. And I think she, at like 18, married a dude she met on that set, I think.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Parker Posey.
I definitely said Parker Posey.
You did?
Said that.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
And you like cheered.
You said Parker Posey.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I'm just going through the list again. Like, oh my god, everybody's in this movie. Do we say Nikki Catt? Because we said Adam Goldberg.
Wait a minute, Nikki Catt.
Yeah. I feel like those two, like, if one of them is in a movie, the other one's probably in the movie somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, just in the background.
I just noticed. I don't know if this is shameful of me to say, but I love Deja Vu. the Tony Scott movie. Okay. And Adam Goldberg is in it. And I didn't notice till like this last time, I've seen it like 100 times, that he's dressed like Serpico. And like when you first meet him, he's dressed like Serpico.
I feel like he's dressed like Serpico in a lot of movies.
Maybe.
Like that's just kind of his thing.
Yeah. But yeah, Adam Goldberg and Nikki Katz.
Cats. I mean, look, if you're
you really like to pluralize people's names.
Nikki Cat.
One. Singular.
It's not a bad idea to find a celebrity that kind of has your vibe.
Yeah.
And then, like, rip on style that's been successfully fit to that celebrity, right?
Yeah.
And if you're Adam Goldberg, you can delusion yourself into thinking that Al Pacino is your spirit animal.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not that far away.
No.
Well, and at least he's going, like, Serpico and not, I don't know.
Cruising.
Heat.
Yeah. Both of those.
I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Yeah.
What is he wearing in Justice for All?
He just wears like a 3-piece suit all the time.
Yeah.
But it's more the yelling than the style. Like he's the subdued Pacino, not the devil's advocate Pacino.
I just want to, as we wrap up Dazed and Confused, I want to point out that Marissa Ribisi now has straight blonde hair, which blows my mind.
Whoa. Because she had curly red hair.
Curly red hair.
And it was like that. Curly red hair. Yeah. It was like Maria Thayer, curly red hair.
Yeah, and everybody called her Red.
Yes. So what do you think of the sequel? There's going to be a sequel to this, a spiritual sequel to it that he's working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it.
I'm suspicious of anything called a spiritual sequel. I'm open to actual sequels. 22 Jump Street was fantastic. But a spiritual sequel, like... Oh, this is a movie about some people in their 40s, and like maybe Wiley Wiggins will show up.
Yeah.
But like, if there's no McConaughey, there's no Cole Hauser, there's no Ben Affleck, it's not a fucking sequel.
That's true. But Linklater's awesome. I love all the before movies, Before Sunset, Before Midnight, Before Sunrise. But yeah, this is a great movie. I love the Criterion. Just check it out if you haven't. By the Criterion, there's a lot of cool supplemental stuff. Love it.
Or I could just borrow it from you.
Yeah, you could do that too. Yeah. But buy it. What is your number three, Adam?
All right. My number three just changed because of...
I know I had to shift things around too.
Yep, my number three just changed. Not because someone picked it, but because of all the Affleck talk. I was like, oh shit. 2010, The Town.
Oh,
I yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I just, that's true. You bastard. I got to move stuff around again.
Ha ha.
That's true. Yeah.
Fucking The Town. I loved The Town. So like I liked Gone Baby Gone, but The Town was just right.
Oh.
It was just right for me.
The Town you were like, "Oh wow, Ben Affleck, you're good at stuff."
Yeah. Like, what the? Cuz it's like a perfect like 70s crime drama / Heat homage. Oh my gosh, so much going on in this movie.
Cuz with Gone Baby Gone, we were like, "Oh, it's good, but he could be lucky, you know? He could be lucky."
I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah, I was okay with it, but I don't remember being like, "Oh, that was amazing."
Yeah, but then I was gonna say Heat. Then The Town, it's amazing.
The only flaw I have with The Town, I love John Hamm. I think John Hamm is phenomenally talented. What he's doing with Mad Men, amazing. But I think he's miscast. I think he's too young and too handsome for that part. And if that part had been like Ed Harris,
oh yeah,
right,
who he just worked with, he was right there.
Yeah, he was available. And, like, I just didn't quite... I was like, no, come on. This is Boston. No one in the entire city of Boston is that good looking. And you've already cast Ben Affleck in the movie, which is artificial. So, like, come
on. And Jeremy Renner?
Yeah.
Is he considered super handsome? I thought he was, like, tough dude.
I don't know.
I don't think he's tough dude.
Jenny.
I think he's handsome.
Ruling. There we go.
Yeah, you're a fan?
Yeah.
Who would you rather go out with more, Ben Affleck or Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner.
More handsome.
Mm. Yeah, but you're kind of on the short side.
Yeah. And Ben Affleck has like a lot of drama.
Yeah. What?
Likes,
really?
Likes the gamble.
Like with, what's her face?
The J-Lo stuff?
Jennifer Garner.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean the fact that he's married?
Yeah. So much drama.
Yeah.
Too much.
You don't want to. Well, and he's got kids too.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck's got kids. Yeah. I feel like the only reason why, or the main reason, and they don't really play with it much, to cast John Hamm. It's to play with like the dynamic of him kind of wanting Rebecca Hall also, but they don't really go down that road.
I don't even remember that as being a threat.
Yeah, I guess like they don't address it at all. Like that was the
also,
only thing.
It's Rebecca Hall. Ed Harris would want Rebecca Hall too.
This is true.
Anybody, if you put them in the room with Rebecca Hall, will get their flirt on because it's like
Rebecca
Hall. Yeah.
But maybe they wanted to imply that John Hamm had a chance and maybe Ed Harris wouldn't have. I don't know. But yeah, that was the weird, because it's John Hamm and he's playing this guy and it's a weird character. And I don't know.
And it's a character that should just be older. Yeah. A little more burnt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to confess something. Every time I hear the name John Hamm,
mm-hmm.
I just get a little hungry. I think of like an actual ham. But maybe I'm conflicted in my sexuality. Because maybe I think he's so handsome.
You want to eat John Hamm?
Yeah.
No, cannibalism and homosexuality, not the same thing.
It's a ham. Yeah, but this movie is so good. And Argo is good, too.
Argo is good, too. But good. I think this goes along with Charles's theme of second movies that were better. Like, this is my favorite. Like, I love The Town. I don't own Argo. I own, like, the most special edition of The Town I could find.
I have two. I have two.
It's like, what's got the most discs and special features? Yeah. That's the version I want.
Yeah. Also, did you guys remember when they were first writing Man of Steel? Mm-hmm. They were looking for directors, and he was the first guy they went to, and he turned it down. He said, I don't know special effects, and I'd love to do it, but I don't know special effects, so I don't want to do it. And after that, I respected him so much because he knew his limitations, and he was like, no, I don't deal well with that, so I pass. But now I'm curious to see what that would have been like.
I mean, if it was the same script, I still feel like it would have sucked.
I don't know. Maybe he would have rewritten it, hopefully, you know?
Who ended up doing Man of Steel?
Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could, like, have a gif of the face that you just made when I said that, and that would just go along with the episode.
I'd like his Dawn of the Dead.
That's the only one that's good.
Well, it is. Watchmen's not terrible, and I actually don't mind the rewrite. I know the ending, like, offends the fan of the comic books. I love the comic book.
I don't have a problem with the ending. I just have a problem with the... I don't know. It's just, it's like staying too, it's the same thing with Sin City. It's like, you don't have to stay exactly up until the end. It just feels like beat for beat. It's like,
but Sin City also has the problem of like terrible performances by a director who doesn't know how to talk to actors. Whereas like, at least in Watchmen, the performances are good and Malin Ackerman looks great naked. And like,
true.
It's very true. And like, you know, there's like a lot of things going for Watchmen and they have some cool slow-mo and special effects and they're doing interesting things. And like, yeah, it is a little too slavish. It's not as much fun as going to a Chris Nolan movie where he adds something to the canon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after that, Zack Snyder's been in an interesting space.
I'm curious to see Ben Affleck direct like a big studio tentpole movie. I'd like to see him maybe take a crack at a Marvel movie. I think he'd be good.
I thought he was, isn't he, since he passed on Man of Steel, but I feel like, isn't he on the shortlist for Justice League now?
I think so. Well, maybe Zack Snyder's going to do that, but.
I hope not.
We'll see. Chris Rock was just saying that if Top 5 is big enough, he'd like to do a Marvel movie, which would make me so happy.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. All right, so that was your number
three.
For my number three, I picked... where's this guy from? I'm trying to find out where... Oh, he's a New Zealand director. No, it's not Peter Jackson.
There's other directors in New Zealand?
Yeah.
It's big enough for more than Peter Jackson?
Yeah. And I'm talking about Andrew Dominik.
I didn't know he was from New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah? He likes Kiwis. Yeah. I love... The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Love this movie. I actually saw a test screening of it. And so I think the theatrical version is like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a 4.5 hour version of it. Yeah, there was a intermission and they gave free popcorn. and I loved it. When I finished it, I was like, I can't believe they're going to release this in theaters. And then they released the 3-hour version. I was a little disappointed, but I love...
Now, have you seen the 3-hour version?
I love this movie.
So you've seen the 3 hours as well?
Yeah.
So, and you think the 3-hour holds up to what the 4.5-hour?
Okay. Still holds up in its own way. Are you guys fans of the movie?
I hate that movie.
I knew someone wasn't going to hate it.
And that movie particularly infuriates me, because that movie... There's one scene they could have had at the ending that could have saved the movie for me. And they clearly knew it because they have a wide shot and it's him sitting in a room with Zooey Deschanel and the voiceover says he tried to explain himself to a lady and he couldn't. And you're like, show me that fucking scene. And you cast Zooey Deschanel. So For fuck's sake, that's the scene that could justify this entire mess if you show me him trying to explain himself to Zooey Deschanel. Holy fuck. But you give me a wide shot and voiceover? Fuck yourself. I love Paul Snyder, too. I'm always happy to see him working, but... Ugh.
I love this movie, and I love the four-hour version of it. And
now, in the four-hour version, do you see him explain himself to Zooey Deschanel?
No, you don't.
Fuck.
No. It's still voiceover. It's just more voiceover in the four-hour version.
Does the more voiceover help?
I don't think so.
Maybe the intermission helped.
Maybe you just needed
a break.
Yeah.
You needed a break. You needed a chance to step out and relieve yourself.
Strangely, I loved his third movie, which everybody else hated.
I loved Killing Them Softly.
Yeah, why did people hate that?
I don't know.
So good.
I loved it. Did you see it?
I never saw it.
It's good. I like it. It's streaming now on Netflix.
I heard bad stuff. That's why I was like, oh, I'll just
Everyone
wait.
Said terrible things, yeah. And I don't understand why.
That scene with Gandolfini in the bar?
All the scenes with Gandolfini.
People just had a misconception about the movie. Like, they thought it was going to be more Goodfellas-y, like more, I don't know, more
mobster-y.
Something
else. More mobster movie and less a commentary on, like,
yeah, less the discussion economy. Of economics, yeah. Which were still, like, they made economic. It was the, okay, so I feel like both these movies came out at the same time, and Savannah was mad at me for making her watch both of them. But they both deal with very similar subjects, but in much, this, what was the Brad Pitt one?
Killing Them Softly
does it much more entertainingly. That and Cosmopolis, like, they're both talking about economics, but Cosmopolis is like, you've got Robert Pattinson in a cork-lined car discussing it in the most boring fashion possible, so tediously, and I couldn't sit through that one, but Killing Them Softly, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I did too.
Steve
McNary is great, Brad Pitt, James Gandolfini, Richard Jenkins, it was awesome.
Yeah.
The guy whose name I always forget, who's also in Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah, the partner of...
The guy who was also in Goodfellas?
He's in Goodfellas too?
The star of Goodfellas. Ray Liotta.
No. The grimy guy who like
Oh yeah.
That guy.
Place Beyond the Pines. He plays the
He also plays the guy who helps him.
Yeah, he plays the guy who gives Dane DeHaan the motorcycle at the end.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That actor's really good. I think he's really British. And he's amazing.
He's so good.
But I love Assassination of Jesse James. I like the score. I love the cinematography. I love everything.
Can I insist that whenever you discuss this movie, you use the full title? I'm not going to let you.
The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. I like because it's very Terrence Malick-y. You know, it's very still. I love still movies. I love this movie, and I love Chopper, his first movie.
The thing that stands out the most in my mind about this movie, having only watched it the one time, is the shot. When they rob the train. Like, that's just...
It's beautiful.
So the movie peaked about 5 minutes.
Is that how quickly that scene comes?
Yeah.
You should check out his first movie called Chopper if you want to see a fat Eric Bana.
Do I want to see a fat Eric Bana? I don't know. Oh, Jesus. Kind of looks like you.
It does kind of look like me. I look like a fat Eric Bana.
I mean, that's not the worst.
Thing. I know.
Yeah.
She could have said
worse things about you.
You have...
It means there's an Eric Bana in there somewhere.
There's an Eric Bana in there if I lose, 100 pounds. that is my number
three.
Jenny?
Sorry. Okay, so we actually talked about this guy earlier. My number three is Paul Thomas Anderson with Boogie Nights.
Ooh, nice.
I figured he'd make an appearance this evening.
Did you just read the oral history of Boogie Nights that just went around the internet?
No. I need to.
I'm only like a third of the way through, but it's pretty fun. They talk a lot about the prosthetic penis.
Oh, that's awesome.
How long is it? Like,
it's 7 inches. They originally went 12, but they decided that was too big.
You just
set that one right up. just right there. How long is the written piece?
It is on the interwebs, so okay. I do not know, okay. But it is one of those like, every once in a while you click to an article on the internet and it's like really fancily formatted and there's like sections that have like scroll bars of their own per section. So it's one of them fancy long reads.
Okay.
Fancy.
But you don't mind it when they're nicely formatted, right?
Yeah. No, as long as you're breaking it. If you do the New York Times thing, you break it into sections, great. If it's like one thing that's 20,000 words, yeah, TLDR.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
I didn't know that till I didn't know what that meant until like
TLDR?
Literally last week.
Too long, didn't too read.
Yeah.
You guys are so fancy.
Yeah, the internet
you
trolls
know
are fancy.
You're the one who gives them to us.
No, she's 74.
She's 74.
Yeah.
Yeah. We decided.
Get off the file so I can use it.
Yeah, so Boogie Nights.
Have you seen all his movies, though?
I could go through the list. I've never seen Heart 8. I don't.
Okay.
Oh, Heart 8's worth. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So good. I remember seeing trailers for it before other movies. Like, and I was just like, what is this movie? I want to watch it. Just everyone looks so cool. Even like, I don't know, something about it.
It's so cool. Good. It almost forgives the existence of Goop. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow is good in it.
Yeah.
Which is like a real statement to make.
Yeah.
And
that is a statement.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is only in it briefly, but he's so good.
Is it John C. Reilly who's in it as well?
Oh, yeah, John C. Reilly's
like the main, like the guy he's helping out.
Yeah, yeah.
But Philip
Seymour Hoffman plays like the brash dude at the table.
A gambler.
Yeah, the gambler.
And Sydney's played by
Philip Baker Hall. And Samuel L. Jackson has a part.
That's right. It's a good movie. But
yeah.
Boogie Nights, I loved. And I hate that Burt Reynolds was like, I'm gonna distance myself from this movie.
When did he do that? Right after?
He finished it. Until the Oscar nomination.
Yeah, until he got nominated. He was like, I think he fired his agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's...
He's like, why didn't you give me Smokey and the Bandit Part 5?
Yeah.
Why did you give me this?
You know, he gave up on that franchise already.
He wanted to do Gator 3.
He did.
This is another movie that has a ton of people you don't remember are in this.
I know. Yeah. And then when
Don,
you watch it...
Don Cheadle.
I always forget that... Even though I'm saying it now, but the person I'm always surprised by is Thomas Jane.
Yes.
And Alfred Molina. Alfred Molina, too.
I can never forget that Alfred Molina's in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's got one of the best scenes.
Yeah. How much do you lift? How much do you lift? I love John C. Reilly.
I didn't realize for the longest time that Melora Walters... Waters? Walters?
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it?
I don't know.
I'm asking Ricardo how to say someone's last name. That's the worst.
I'm like...
She plays like the drug addict in
Magnolia.
Yeah. But I didn't realize for the longest time that she's like the blonde bimbo-y character that Don Cheadle's character marries.
Really?
Yeah.
I think bimbo is not the accurate term. Well, she's a painter.
No, but she's like that. That's
she's
how
the
she's,
artist.
That's the stereotype to which she is pigeonholed within the movie.
Walters.
She's not. Walters.
Walters. Also interesting about Boogie Nights is like the cinema references I didn't get then. Like, there's a lot of movies full of cinema references where you're like, oh, if I get these references, it's great. And if I don't, it's not fun. But, like, Boogie Nights just sails. And then you learn a little bit about movies, and you see Soy Cuba, and you're like,
oh,
my God. There's, like, an 8-minute-long Soy Cuba reference in the middle of this movie that, like, I did not need to know that to appreciate it. But then once you know it, you're like, oh, yeah. And I think when he made the movie in 95, Soy Cuba wasn't available outside of, like, film festivals and VHSs you traded to people you met through, like, film clubs. Like, I don't think...
I feel like I remember reading something about how, like, Altman or Scorsese showed him a copy of it or something.
That's insane.
But, again, who knows? That this was a while ago when I read that. I might be imagining it. But, yeah, like, I remember... Because didn't Scorsese helm the DVD release of it?
I think
recently.
I think he did.
So I feel like he showed PTA a copy of it.
Oh, because he had seen Heart 8 and was like, "Come over here, kid.
Yeah, come watch this movie."
He's like, "It's my big dick. I want to fuck. Who's it gonna be?" I love this movie. I
mean, that's like in my morning prayers.
But yeah, amazing movie, and Philip Seymour Hoffman as Scotty.
Yeah.
Also, who was the guy who played the like replacement porn star who was moving in after him? I always think it's Ron Livingston, and it's not. But how great would it have been if it was?
That would have been cool.
I feel like that would have been a whole different take on that character.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So that is your number three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Charles, what do you got for us?
My number three is Days of Heaven.
Oh,
I went to.
I got to move some stuff around now.
Yeah. Instead of going for like secondhand Malick with the assassination of Jesse James, mm-hmm. the coward Robert Ford, I was like, why don't we just go firsthand Malick? Let's go for it.
He was my number one, but
we're
going to shift things around.
Bold move. Because here's the thing. I mean, the first one, Tak Fujimoto shot it, Badlands. It's good, but like I've only seen Badlands like twice. But Days of Heaven, like, every once in a while, you just want to watch 20 minutes of Days of Heaven. Like, I don't need to see the whole thing. I can dip in and out, yeah. But it's like this, like, there's this thing that it, like, captures. There's this, like, and it,
golden hour?
Well, yeah. And, like, 4-hour Canadian golden hour.
Yeah.
And those locusts, and, yeah.
Didn't they use peanuts?
Mm-hmm. Peanut shells.
Peanut shells?
Yeah, yeah. Out of a helicopter and then played it backwards or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Well, it's also just, you know, it's like, all right, we're going to do a love triangle movie. Not the most original story, but we're just going to shoot the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
I like
with
that.
With candles.
Yeah. With candles. all long takes. I love Terrence Malick. I'd probably say he's one of my favorite directors of all time. Though I like Badlands because he still hadn't, he was still looking for his style.
Yeah.
And I like how it's not perfect. I love that about Badlands, and especially the new Blu-ray Criterion. It looks beautiful. But Days of Heaven, man, that is a beautiful fucking movie. Who was it, John Toll, that one?
No, it was Nestor Almendros, and then Nestor Almendros got sick. And so about 60% of the movie is Nestor, and about 40% of the movie is Haskell. But Nestor got the, I've met either of them, but Almendros got the Oscar.
Oof.
I'll use the last names. But he shot 60%.
Yeah. He deserved it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Apparently his vision was failing towards the end, so he couldn't look through the camera, and they would make these blow-up Polaroids of every setup that he would evaluate, which is like...
That's insane.
But I mean, when you're good, you're good, and people bend over backwards.
Yeah.
The thing that breaks my heart about movies, all those pickup shots they shot in Woodland Hills. Like when you're watching a scene and you know, it's like this beautiful sunset scene and it's amazing, and then they cut to a close up of it's not John Sayles, it's what's his face?
Sam Shepard.
Sam Shepard. Every once in a while they'll cut to a close up of Sam Shepard, and it's like from below shooting straight up at his chin, and it's just blue sky behind him. It's the Panavision parking lot in Woodland Hills, California.
Oh.
And because they there were scenes that they just couldn't make edit, and the studio wouldn't let them go back to Canada. So they literally had to do it in the parking lot. And once you know that, I just ruined it for you guys.
You just ruined it.
Oh yeah. And when the glass falls in the water, that's Sissy Spacek's living room. She had a aquarium she let them use.
Oh man.
I know. I'm doing what I can to ruin your lives. but the thing is the movie's so good it doesn't even matter.
That's true. I defend Terrence Malick even now. I don't think he's made a bad movie. I said it.
You've done. Seen To the Wonder? I haven't gotten around to it.
I have. I loved it.
80% of Tree of Life was great.
I loved 100% of Tree of Life.
Really? The Sean Penn in the desert?
Yeah.
With younger Sean Penn?
Yeah.
Sean Penn's.
Sean Penn. See, use this. Damn it.
Full circle.
I'm glad someone put it on. All right.
Well, you were
going to number one.
It was your number one. So someone was going to put it on. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be there.
What is your number two?
All right. My number two is Where I Cheat. And I have a tie. But there's it's a tie that it's a tie with a bind. I don't know. There's a tie that binds within my tie. Michael Fassbender is in both of these movies. And they both came out in 2011.
Oh.
And it is Jane Eyre and Shame.
One's got a penis in it? One has...
I mean, technically the penis is in both. You just don't see it in one of them. Because one's PG-13.
You don't know that for a fact.
That you don't see it?
You don't know that it is actually there in Jane Eyre. He could be a eunuch. That could have been a fake penis.
This is true. It could be a prosthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be a prosthetic.
Jenny and I saw this movie together.
Wait,
which
shame.
Is really yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Which totally. Is like there's penis.
There's
taking up half the screen.
Glory. Yeah, taking up the screen.
I don't remember if I saw it in theaters or not. I feel like I probably would have remembered. Yeah, well, it would have been. I just can only imagine what that was like.
Yeah, it's large.
Well, the thing is, it was really large. And here's the thing: at the end, I'm like, Jenny, well, clearly he's not Jewish, is he? And and Jenny's like, I didn't even notice.
I
didn't notice
that. I couldn't even look at all. I was just like too big to look at every part of it.
You're like, I'm just gonna stick to the shaft part of it.
Shame. Okay, so Shame.
Amazing.
Shame is Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Steve McQueen's second movie.
Hunger was his first.
And it's about Michael Fassbender as a sex addict and his sister, who may or may not have had an incestual incident with, comes to live with him.
Played by
Carey Mulligan.
Carey Mulligan. Very good, very disturbing and dark, very still, which is probably why Ricardo loves it so much.
That's why I love it.
And then Jane Eyre was Cary Fukunaga. Is that how you say it?
The guy from True Detective.
Yes.
The director of True Detective.
Yeah, that was his second movie. And actually, it wasn't on my list, but then talking about Days of Heaven made me think of it, because he also uses a lot of natural light in this movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, the candlelight only scenes when they're going through this like deep, dark English manor, they're just amazing.
Yeah.
And I love this movie so much. It's like a dark, creepy take on Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
Mia Wasikowska and Michael Fassbender are great. Jamie Bell is awesome. It's a very, very pretty movie to watch.
I didn't want to see this for some reason. I was like, oh, that looks stupid.
He's like, well, this one doesn't have a penis in it. I'm
like, it's really good. Like, really? Have you read Jane Eyre? Because
in school.
I didn't read it. And they do it, like, I think they take the narrative and they mess around with the order of it, so it's more like a mystery.
Okay.
Where they're doing flashbacks and forth, and what's her name? Sally Hawkins is in it. She's really good. And the first movie I remember seeing her in was Happy Go Lucky, and she's playing the exact opposite of that bright, bubbly, poppy character from that movie. She's like a very stern mistress, and it's really good. You should give it a look. It's very if for nothing else, you could watch it on mute and just play some music.
Yeah. I think it came out the same time as like Atonement or something.
It was after
or one of those other. It came out the same time as one of those.
I actually prefer this thing,
and I was like, I don't want to see either of those.
I prefer this to Atonement. And I do like Atonement, but this
that was good too. Is that a Keira Knightley?
It does have Keira Knightley. I don't think it's nearly as good as Jane Eyre, but I didn't hate it.
Interesting.
But Shame is awesome.
Yeah,
Shame I love Shame.
I like Steve McQueen.
Jane Badgley is awesome in this. The little part he has. Everyone's great in this. Everyone's awesome. I love that scene that's in the restaurant. That's just one long take. And it's like a wide shot. And they're having dinner and the conversation. And they don't cut at all. I love that.
I just remember the trailer was very, I don't know. It perfectly indicated the tone of the movie to me.
Yeah. All right. Oh, it's my turn. Sorry.
Your turn.
My number two is... we've talked about this movie at length, I think. I'll mention it, and we could talk about a little bit of it, but we could skip it as well.
Okay.
My number two is from 1984, and I pick The Terminator. James Cameron's number two. First one was Piranha 2, and this was the second movie. And I love it. I love Terminator. I'm never not in the mood for the Terminator or Predator, ever. Like, that's my default. Like, if we can't find anything to watch, we're going to watch Predator or the Terminator.
Isn't the Predator also his second movie?
It is. John McTiernan's second movie. Yeah.
So you could have done a tie.
It could be. You know what? It's a tie. Predator and the Terminator. I love them both. That's the only thing keeping me interested in the new Terminator was that they fed me that nostalgia. Like, hey, here, we're going to have scenes from the old one. But it looks like shit. I understand that.
There's a new Terminator coming out?
Yeah.
You haven't seen the trailer for Terminator Genesis?
I have not.
That's crazy.
I've watched the Inherent Vice trailer like 20 times. Does that make up for it?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, because the Inherent Vice is... good, and Terminator Genesis is probably not going to be.
It's true.
But it's a crazy trailer.
This is the worst thing to see.
Oh, his next movies are Avatar 2, 3, 4, and probably 6.
Yeah, that's awful.
5, 6.
Who is that?
James Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do Avatar till he dies.
Ugh.
Well, he bought New Zealand so that he can spend the rest of his life doing Avatar.
Yeah, basically.
Ugh.
But does that mean we don't have to see any more Lord of the Rings movies?
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
There aren't any more, right? There are no more books, right?
Again, I'm still worried that it's going to be like the Brooklyn Bridge. And as soon as he finishes, he's going to start remaking them again.
He's like, you know, the technology is there.
And he's got to go back.
Yeah.
Or, oh, yeah. Well, he shot the last ones on 35mm film, right? So now he's got to redo them at 96 frames per second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HDR.
With a new cast.
Right.
It's going to be all motion capture, and it's all going to be Andy Serkis.
I swear to God if that's true.
But that's it. The Terminator, loved it. That's my number two. Could have been my number one, but it wasn't. Jenny, all what is your number two?
So, my number two is another dynamic duo. Ooh. It's the Coen brothers with Raising Arizona.
Ooh.
Look at you. I wasn't expecting this.
We kind of brought it up at the last podcast, but we didn't really talk about it a lot. But I think we've talked about it in the past.
So the first movie was Blood...
Simple.
Blood Simple. Second movie, completely different. Raising Arizona. I fucking love Raising Arizona.
I do. I feel bad that I haven't watched it in so long. Like, I own it. It's right there. It's sitting there.
Isn't it funny how you feel bad for the movie? Where you're like, I'm sorry, Raising
I'm
Arizona.
I'm sorry that I haven't watched it. I do. Especially when I watch stupid things. I'm like, I could be watching Raising Arizona instead of this.
I feel that in general. Like, I could be watching a Nick Cage movie right now.
Well, see.
Nick Cage at one of his best.
It's top five Nick Cage.
Yeah.
A writing partner of mine, our writing sessions regularly end with a Nicolas Cage movie. And half the time I'm like, we could be watching a good Nicolas Cage movie instead of Firebirds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
If you roll the dice on a Nick Cage movie, about half the time you're going to be watching.
That's
a
the thing.
One.
We
Snake
were like,
Eyes?
That one's like right on the line where it's like, because I feel like the way to save a Nicolas Cage movie is to just crank Nicolas Cage up all the way. And the problem that we kept running into was we were going with the movies where it's the subdued Nicolas Cage. And that's not fun, ever.
It's not what
you
pay for.
It's not fun. No. It's not
it's
what
safe
want.
Cage.
Yeah, you don't want safe cage.
You need to let him out of the cage.
Yes.
Now, did you watch Raising Arizona as a child?
No.
So were you scared of the bad guy or no? He was always comedy to you.
Oh, yeah, he was always comedy.
Because, I watched Raising Arizona when I was, 5, and he was, scary, kind of.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of awesome.
See, I bet that would be better.
I watched it when I was young. The problem was I watched it around the same time I watched Ernest Goes to Jail, and it's the same guy.
Oh.
So I wasn't scared of him because he was in Ernest Goes to Jail.
I mean, I don't know if I was afraid of him, but I thought he was tough.
He was.
He does seem tough to me.
Yeah.
But, there was actually motorcycle. A triple feature, or not triple feature, but, three movies that I watched a lot around at the same time. Ernest Goes to Jail, Raising Arizona, and Blind Fury with Rutger Hauer. He's the bad guy in that, too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Blind so Fury's you were badass. Just very interested in that bad guy.
Well, I just watched everything. My parents, there was only one movie my parents ever didn't let me watch, and that was Falling Down, and I'm still not sure why. And if my mom is listening, she can tell. I don't know. I don't remember why.
She's like, Basic Instinct? Okay. Falling Down, I draw the line.
I don't remember trying to watch Basic Instinct. Like, Falling Down was something I wanted to see.
Okay.
And they didn't let me watch that.
Well, they didn't want you to get a buzz cut, I think. That's the fear.
Yeah. That's the thing. I already had that haircut. I had the flat top.
You had the flat top and they wouldn't let you watch it?
Yeah.
Cray.
And the glasses? Were you wearing glasses?
I wasn't wearing glasses.
Not yet.
Did you grow up in L.A.?
I didn't. I grew up in Vista, California, which is a suburb of San Diego.
Okay, because I could see parents being, really angry at the distortions of geography. In that film, he walks from downtown
There's
to Venice in, like, 2 hours.
So many distortions of geography in movies of L.A., though.
Yeah, but Falling Down is particularly egregious on that front. It's its only flaw. It's otherwise a great movie, but, come on.
I don't think... I've off the top of my head, I'm going to say The Italian Job was way worse at geography in L.A.
Oh, yeah. But it was that so much more... Awful. It was fun. Most F like shoes.
It's most fun because you could see how much Ed Norton hated that movie.
Yeah.
Feel it.
That did help.
But Raising Arizona, I love the Francis McDormand's husband in that. They want to adopt another kid.
Oh, yeah, Glenn. That guy.
Glenn.
He's amazing. Name
we, okay, every time, we always do this. We always say we're not going to forget his name.
Yeah.
And we always do.
Sam McMurray.
There we go.
He
was on the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah.
He's funny. He was Chandler's boss for a while
on
Friends.
Yep. He's all, why does it take two Pollocks to change a light bulb? Because they're so damn stupid. I love that guy. I love all his jokes. Yeah. All they had was a Korean baby with a heart outside its body. I love this movie. I'm glad you put it on. Good for you.
That's a good one.
I remember there was a trailer for Raising Arizona and Manhunter on my copy of Coming to America that we had taped off of paper.
What a weird
those
group
are the two,
of
those
things.
Are the two trailers before Coming to America came on.
What was your first Coen Brothers movie you saw then? The Big Lebowski, maybe?
Let me see. Yeah, probably.
Or Intolerable Cruelty.
No, one of those it two. Was The Big Lebowski. Yeah.
Mine was Fargo.
Oh, wait. No, I think I saw The Big Lebowski before I saw Fargo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think mine was Raising Arizona as a kid. But by coincidence. And then the last one I got to was Miller's Crossing.
Wait, no, I guess technically no, it was Raising Arizona. I just wasn't aware of it at the time.
Like, yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I watched it when I was a kid, but the first time I knew that a director team had made a movie was Fargo.
Yeah.
And there were people, and then I went back and I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. They directed this movie I saw as a kid. Yeah, that's me too.
We watched Oh Brother, We're Out Thou in high school.
I love that movie.
During English class because we were reading
The Odyssey.
The Odyssey.
Yeah. That's such a... I don't think that movie gets enough credit. Like, I love that movie.
That movie's great. Yeah. But I'm beginning to believe you're not 74.
All right. Jenny's number two.
Yeah.
Charles, what do you got?
My number two is The Last Picture Show.
Oh.
Second movie by Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
Targets is not... I haven't watched Targets. I've never felt compelled to go watch his first movie.
Yeah.
But Last Picture Show is perfect. It's just perfect. I've actually gone to visit Archer City because of that movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's a great little town. I mean, I'm a big Larry McMurtry fan in general, but like, yeah, it's a little burg. Larry McMurtry got rich off Last Picture Show and Lonesome Dove, and so has bought the whole town and turned it all into one giant bookstore.
What?
And there's one clerk who goes around and opens it all in the morning and closes it all at the end of the day. No internet sales, honor system. You like find a book you like, then you got to go like find the clerk somewhere to pay for it.
Really?
I want to go to there.
Oh, it's amazing. Archer City, Texas.
Savannah would hate it.
There's no Wi-Fi here.
There's no Wi-Fi. It's all a bookstore.
There's a Dairy Queen, too.
And it's in Texas.
Is he the same like clerk there, too?
No. It's
Parker Posey.
Oh, okay. And there's also the sheriff, and he's the sheriff as well, probably.
He just wears a hat.
Yeah. It's the hats that he changes that count. Yeah. Good pick, man. There's nothing to say about that.
Yeah, it's just, and he didn't want to do it at first. Polly Platt had to talk him into it.
Really?
Yeah, he read the book and he's like, I don't see it. And Polly Platt was like, what's wrong with you? This is going to be great. And he was like, okay.
I got to rewatch that. It's been years since I've seen that. Again, I feel bad. I've treated that movie bad. I've neglected it.
Yeah, that scene where Sybil Shepherd's trying to decide underwear or bra, which one comes, it's just like, it's so good.
That's another one of those movies where I watched it way too young, like on accident, like it was just on, like, what's this, what's happening here? And then that scene shows up and I felt like I was going to get in trouble.
you kept looking like, are they coming in?
Are they coming in? Oh, no.
All right, I'll keep watching.
This movie's in black and white. I didn't think they were going to be naked.
I thought this was Dracula. all right, so that was your number two. Mm-hmm. What is your recap and your number one now?
Okay, I just reminded myself of another movie that I wish had been on the list. My number five, 1984, is Johnny Dangerously. Number four was Seven Psychopaths from 2012. Number three was The Town, 2010. Number two was A Tie Between Jane Eyre and Shame, which both came out in 2011. And my number one from 2003... favorite of her movies, Lost in Translation.
Oh.
What was her first movie?
Virgin Suicides.
Oh, that's right.
Which I didn't like at the time, but I've revisited since, and I do enjoy it more and more. But Lost in Translation is my favorite.
That's how I feel about this movie. When I first saw it, I wasn't interested. I wasn't going through my stillness phase. I was going through another phase. But I love this movie now.
I saw this... too many times in theaters.
Yeah.
Too many times.
Yeah. Just the way she opens the movie. And she was trying some new like film stock, right? That like worked in really low light.
It was 5263. Yeah. So it was a low con film stock, but it was only 500 ASA. It wasn't like particularly good in low light, but it was super speed lenses and 5263. So they didn't need as much light as like you know, like they needed in the '80s.
But like even the look of it, like that gave
that low-con thing was
a little something.
Yeah, it was great.
Man, Lost in Translation. Bill Murray's awesome in this. Would you say this is what's his best role?
Bill Murray?
Yeah, I love him in this.
I mean, yeah, but that's hard.
It is hard, but this is definitely in the top. This is in the top five.
Yeah,
of his performances.
I like Sad Murray more than I want to say like Funny Murray.
This and Groundhog Day,
oof, yeah,
are neck and neck. I mean, I feel like Rushmore's right there too, though.
Yeah,
there's so many. It's Bill Murray.
Yeah. That's Sad Murray too,
and then
and funny.
The problem, like the only reason why. I would say Caddyshack isn't in the running is because he's not the main character of Caddyshack, yeah. But he's hilarious in Caddyshack.
I love him.
And then, I mean, the reason I love Bill Murray is because I was a kid and I saw Ghostbusters, and Venkman is the epitome of cool ever since then. So
what's the whiskey he's trying to sell?
The whiskey? Oh,
Suntory.
Suntory time.
It's
yeah, I just love this movie.
Yeah.
And I love that. Did anybody read that Chris Rock interview in New York Magazine?
No.
Or I don't remember if he says it in the interview, but at some point someone recently mentioned how Chris Rock told Bill Murray that Lost in Translation is a movie about being black. Like Bill Murray is like a black guy in America in as a white guy in
Interesting.
Tokyo.
Interesting.
Taller than everybody else.
Taller than everybody else. Feels out of place.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I love it so much. I can watch it. I can watch it over and over again.
So what was the next one after this for her?
I believe it was Marie Antoinette.
Marie Antoinette.
Which I hate.
Really?
I hate so much.
I like that too.
I don't like that movie.
We should do her director's cut. Yeah, we should.
How long is the director's cut on Marie Antoinette?
No, sorry. We do a segment called Director's Cut where we do all their filmography from one director. But I dig, what is it, Somewhere that she did?
You watched Somewhere?
I did. I liked it.
I did not watch that.
I like Stillness. All right. So that's your number one.
That's my number one.
My recap is my number five was The Brown Bunny. Four was Seven. That's weird. Three was The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. I didn't rank out on that. And two was The Terminator. And my number one is from 2002, and it is Adaptation. Little Nicolas Cage. Little subdued Nicolas Cage.
This is the best of the subdued Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, yeah. Though I would say maybe he's the craziest because he's neurotic. But, yeah, yeah.
He does go back and forth a bit.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about Spike Jonze. His first movie was Being John Malkovich. This is his second movie with Charlie Kaufman, Adaptation. I love this movie. Chris Cooper, amazing. He's like, I'm one of the smartest people I know. Tilda Swinton. This is the first, I think, first time I saw anything that she was in. But it's amazing. And I love Spike Jonze. I liked everything he's done. I dig it. You don't like Spike Jonze?
I do like Spike Jonze. Yeah. Her was fantastic.
I loved her. Yeah.
They're all solid adaptations. Yeah. Good being done. Malkovich is good. He's.
He's, and I thought like he was going to like not work well without Charlie Kaufman, but fuck no, hers awesome.
Yeah,
he does the difficult thing of taking eccentric movies and still having like heart and connection. Like they're not just goofy. Like there's a thing there.
They're not weird for the sake of being weird.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie. I dig his acting. I like when he in Moneyball.
He's great in Moneyball.
Moneyball and in Wolf of Wall Street.
Three Kings.
Wolf
of Wall Street's so good.
Have you seen Three Kings?
I haven't seen Three Kings.
Awesome. So you want to go back to your day job? He's just. Shooting a car.
Wait, is that a second movie?
Oh, yeah. No, Spanking. Oh, third.
Spanking the Monkey, Flirting with Disaster.
Oh.
Three Kings.
Yeah. Three Kings is good.
It does not look like my kind of movie.
It's so good though.
It's funny
for everybody.
Yes. Do you like George Clooney banging a lot of chicks?
Do you like David O. Russell?
Yeah.
Then you'll. Oh, it's funny.
Three Kings is not a war movie. It's not like Saving Private Ryan. It is like.
Okay. It's a nice cube movie. Okay.
Yeah. It's three soldiers in the war here that there's like a secret stash of Saddam's gold, and they sneak off from their unit to go steal it.
Okay.
So yeah. It's more like a fun caper in the desert.
All right.
And the cinematography is batshit awesome.
And Mark Wahlberg is always out of breath, so that's all you need.
Well, always.
But for a good cause. You know, meaning it's warranted, the out of breath thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is your recap of your number one, Jenny?
All right, so my number five was Phil Lord and Christopher. Oh, wait, are we doing the names of the movies?
Doesn't matter. Whatever.
Number five was 21 Jump Street. Four was Mallrats. Three was Boogie Nights. Two was Raising Arizona. And my number one is Wes Anderson with Rushmore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's in that movie? William Murray.
William
Murray.
Okay. Brendan Gleeson. No, Brendan Smith. Anyway,
in some of the supplemental stuff on the Criterion, they talk about how Jason Schwartzman had to shave like twice a day.
Oh, really?
He's so hairy. Yeah, he's so hairy.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah, you're right. I love this one. Rewatched it again like last year. I don't know, just to make sure because it'd been a while since like high school or something since I'd seen it, and I still love it.
That's how I felt about Bottle Rocket.
Yeah, I love Bottle Rocket.
And it still holds up. I bought it.
Me around on Bottle Rocket.
Have you seen the short?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could see like it was there all along. Like you could see that his vision was there from the beginning. I love in the supplemental stuff in the DVD in the Blu-ray, they interview James Caan. And he's like, I didn't get it. I just had the time and I shot it. You clearly didn't get anything. But yeah, this definitely. And again, like we talked about Terrence Malick, like this in this movie, in Bottle Rocket, you don't see the defined style. You see little bits and pieces of it like with the camera work, but not with the cinematography or all the symmetry in the shots and the colors.
Yeah.
But this is where he kind of like this. And I heard that he wanted to do that with Bottle Rocket, but some of the producers were not into
weird.
It. Yeah. But
it seems like it would take a lot of time to set everything up like that.
Yeah, I'm sure his movies take
independent film don't really have a lot of time.
No. But in this,
I love all of Wes Anderson. I will say I could not get through Darjeeling Limited.
Really?
That's fair.
But I don't know if it was just a wrong time I watched it, but I couldn't get through it.
For me, I couldn't finish it. I got to thinking about Wes Anderson when you were talking about Terrence Malick earlier, because like he found his style, and then I think he got too into his style.
Yeah.
But then with Grand Budapest, he like found his style and his heart again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I like this as much as Bottle Rocket, and it has all the crazy style stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it twice in the theater because it was so good.
I still haven't seen Grand Budapest yet. I need to see that one.
When do you think he got too into his style?
Darjeeling. That was the one where I was like, this is too much. This is just too styly and lacking the heart.
Yeah.
See, I think...
I didn't feel for the character. I didn't like... I wasn't invested in the characters at all.
No.
Well, also, Bill Murray's not in it enough.
Yeah. He's just in the beginning. And that's not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough.
No.
That's why I'm okay with Life Aquatic.
Yeah. Is it because of the Bill Murray time?
Yeah,
because of all the Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I like Life Aquatic.
Yeah. This is such a great second film. Who plays the girl he's infatuated with?
The Olivia teacher?
Williams.
Yeah.
Olivia Williams.
She's great.
Brian Cox. That's the name I was going for.
Yes.
He is phenomenal in it.
Brian Cox as the headmaster. Seymour Cassell as his father.
Yeah. Father. Yeah. Seymour Cassell.
Yeah. He's great. And then.
Fuck. All right. Yeah, no, I blew it. I fucked up my list.
Why?
I'll tell you when we get to honorable mentions.
when did you watch? Is this the first movie you watched from his?
I think Royal Tenenbaums was probably the first one I watched.
Yeah, and is that your favorite?
I don't know. I don't know my favorite because that's a hard one.
You like Rushmore a lot?
I love Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one. And I don't know. I think it's just because it's so unique, I think.
Yeah.
And I also love Moonrise Kingdom, but I don't know if that's my favorite. Royal Tenenbaums might be my favorite.
Yeah. I still stand by Bottle Rocket.
I think that's the only one I actually own.
Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's the one I've watched the most.
I own a lot of movies. Yeah.
I don't know. There's just... There's so much more going on in that one.
Yeah, and it was right around the time when all those people were big, like Owen Wilson and Luke. Like they were all like really.
Everybody's blowing up, and like he managed to wrangle like, that together.
Well, and then I mean Gene Hackman just being awesome.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not Welcome to Mooseport.
Yeah.
So.
And then there's all those great anecdotes about how miserable Gene Hackman was to work with on that set.
Yeah. How Bill Murray had to like calm him down, like like stop him from quitting basically every
day. Yeah, well, Bill Murray came in days he wasn't shooting to just like hang with Gene Hackman. And
yeah, and wrangle him basically.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that's so funny.
Like he just didn't get it. He just wasn't into it. Oh, man. Bill Murray's awesome for staying.
Well, I mean, that's Gene Hackman's last movie, right? Didn't he retire after that? Because he was like,
Mooseport.
I don't know.
Welcome to Mooseport.
Mooseport.
It's a good exit movie. It's a good mic drop moment.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, Ray Romano.
I didn't get Royal Tenenbaums, but this I get. I'm out.
You know what? He's awesome in a lot of movies, but in Heartbreakers, I love him in that. He's always coughing. He's a horrible movie, but I love him in that.
I love Heartbreakers. I haven't seen it in forever. I should rewatch it.
I don't even know what this movie is.
Oh. It's got Jennifer Love Hewitt in
Sigourney
it.
Weaver and Jennifer Love Hewitt play a mother-daughter
grifter team.
Yeah.
Who they...
they grift Gene Hackman?
They grift Gene Hackman. Yeah. They, like, get him to fall in love with Sigourney Weaver and then cheat on her with Jennifer Love Hewitt, who's her daughter, and then so they get all the money.
Yeah.
So, it's a good grift.
Jason Lee, Zach Galifianakis.
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. Oh, Ray Liotta's hilarious. I think he's probably the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good pick, man. Anyways, damn you.
I didn't pick Heartbreakers.
Oh, and by the way, I just double checked. I thought I fucked up my list, but I didn't. It's all good.
Okay.
And you'll never know why.
Whoa.
So, to recap.
Yeah.
Number 5, Eternal Sunshine. Number 4, Dazed and Confused. Number 3, Days of Heaven. Saying them back to back. I got a lot of days going. And then number 2, Last Picture Show. And then number 1, Deer Hunter.
Yeah. I was waiting for that one.
Yeah, it was. I was like,
That's one of those movies where I just figure someone else is gonna have it. So I'm like, I'm just not gonna go there. But I know it's gonna show up at some point because
it's Deer Hunter.
Because what the world is a circle and
flat disc,
flat disc.
A little walking in this one. Not quite hook walking.
A little.
Not quite hook hawking.
Way better.
So what was his first movie?
Thunderbolt and Lightfoot.
Oh,
and which is a weird movie.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my gosh,
I've seen it.
It's so like okay. The only thing weirder than that movie is the fact that he followed it up with The Deer Hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like it's totally all over the place. Because it's like a buddy comedy robbery movie that gets really really dark.
Yeah.
At the end, it's Jeff Bridges and Clint Eastwood. And George Kennedy,
I think so.
It's a weird movie.
And then what was after Deer Hunter?
Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a John Cazale movie in.
Yeah.
Because, like, anytime I can talk about John Cazale, I'm happy to, like, you know.
What a great documentary. Did you see the documentary?
No, there's a documentary on him.
Oh, yeah.
Tell him who you are?
Or no.
Well, no, so. That's the documentary on Haskell Wexler, isn't it? You got to tell the people who you are.
I think it's called I Used to Know You, John Cazale.
I Used to Know You?
I think so.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. It's. I think it was an HBO thing, I want to say. But yeah, The Deer Hunter. Fucking classic, man. For the people who haven't seen it, give us a little synopsis since that's your last one.
I don't really know how you synopsize The Deer Hunter, but there's like a 40-minute sequence at a Polish wedding in western Pennsylvania. It is Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, John Cazale, and it's sort of like this epic movie that takes place like about half in western Pennsylvania among these miners who hunt deer, and then a bunch of those miners go to Vietnam together, and so it's their experiences in Vietnam. It is where most people it's where the Mexican standoff Russian roulette,
yeah.
Spinning the revolver thing, sort of entered pop culture largely through Deer Hunter. Yeah. It's not John Voight. Who's the other guy in it? Is it John Voight?
No. The guy who gets who becomes paraplegic.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. It's not John Voight. I do know that the John Cazale movies. I knew it was you.
Yeah.
If that helps.
And so Deer Hunter really like captures the, it does a really good job of balancing the home front and the experience of the soldiers at war and the process of returning. And it's just, it is a sprawling epic. It's one of the best Robert De Niro performances, which is a very competitive list.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's John Savage.
Oh, yeah.
And George Zunda is like their friend who runs the restaurant.
Oh, the, yeah. The sort of chubby guy. Yeah, yeah,
he's really good.
He's good.
It's a great movie.
And it's shot in like Pennsylvania steel country with a bunch of Pennsylvania guys. Yeah. And yeah.
This is a classic.
Yeah.
Is there like a super special edition of this movie?
I feel like there is. I kind of thought you would have this on your list.
Are there different cuts? Because
there's so still.
I know there are different cuts of Heaven's Gate.
I don't know if there are different cuts of this.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And Soderbergh just did a, here's my cut of Heaven's Gate, cut of Heaven's Gate.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason that you might think that there are different cuts is because it's such an epic
movie.
Like, it just, it's so long. And not in the sense that it feels long. Like, it's just so much happens.
Just big.
Yeah, it's just a very large scale.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, man.
And then do we do honorable mentions?
Yeah,
we
do honorable mentions. Let's do it now. Why don't we start with you? What are some of your honorable mentions?
I gotta say Shanghai Nights, the second movie by David Dobkin. It is one of my... It made my top 10 of the decade for the 2000s. It's so good.
Shanghai Nights?
Yeah. Shanghai Dawn is also good, but that was Shanghai like his Noon. Fourth movie. But David... Shanghai Noon, you're right. Yeah. They were going to make Shanghai Dawn, and I feel totally robbed that they didn't. I was completely looking forward
really?
To it.
I think I would have rather had that than I Spy.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Or Rush Hour 3?
Yeah. Yeah. No, if you're going to give me a third movie, give me more Jackie Chan with Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
It was... Shanghai Nights is fantastic. They understood what they had.
Yeah.
They got it. They were like, oh, it's these two guys. Here's what we're going to do with them. And yeah, as a follow-up movie to Clay Pigeons, Shanghai Nights, honorable mention, sophomore movie.
John Wayne, that's a horrible cowboy.
Can I just say, you have a wonderful body.
Is that your only honorable mention?
Oh, I don't. Do we do?
You can do them all. You can just do them and
rattle them off.
Yeah,
that'll be it. That's plenty.
Okay, because I feel like I've got a cluster. Then Save Lost Children.
Ooh.
Repulsion.
Ooh.
Take This Waltz. And Waiting for Guffman.
Oh
yeah. Oh, that was the second one.
Well, wait. What was the first one?
The Big Picture.
Oh yeah, with Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
Totally forgot about that. I totally forgot that was him.
I didn't realize until I just double checked to make this list that he directed Almost Heroes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
With Perry and
Matthew Perry and Chris Farley.
Yeah. That wasn't that bad.
I don't even remember it.
I enjoyed it. Jenny, you have any honorable mentions?
Sure.
I
mention the directors of any of those?
Oh, Ridley Scott, Alien.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was the second movie.
Yeah.
Oh no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That was before Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mind blowing.
Oh, you're right, because it's 79.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you consider Christopher Nolan's first movie? The Following?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he do something before The Following?
No, no. Well, I was thinking what really blew him like up was
Memento,
but The Following was his first feature.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one. Memento was amazing. Great sophomore film. Really?
I kind of don't like Memento.
Really?
Yeah. For me, Nolan's all about Dark Knight. That's the one I like.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think my favorite one, though, out of, and I'm going to sound like an idiot here, I like the magic one. What's it called?
The Prestige.
I love that's my favorite. Yeah, that's my number one Christopher Nolan.
It's a pretty good David Bowie performance, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sam Mendes.
Mendes. What was the second movie?
Road to Perdition.
Yeah.
Perdition.
Yeah. Which we talked about a lot last in the week. Last episode.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Gets me sad. I feel bad that I didn't name any of the directors. City of Lost Children was Jean-Pierre
Jeunet.
Repulsion's Roman Polanski. Take This Waltz was Sarah Pauley. Waiting for Guffman is Christopher Guest.
Yeah. Take This Waltz, I like, but it's one of those that angered me.
And Danny Boyle, Trainspotting. Yeah.
That one was, that was on my list for a while.
Yeah.
That's
a good one.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
What's Catherine,
Hard Work or Bigelow?
Bigelow. What's her second
Near Dark. I was waiting for you to say Near Dark. Okay. I was like, when's Ricardo going to say Near Dark?
What's Near Dark?
Oh.
It sounds like I should see it.
Yeah. Catherine Bigelow's vampire movie.
It's the anti-Twilight, as I like to call it.
I don't know about all that. I think True Blood's the anti-Twilight.
Is Top Gun Tony Scott's second movie?
It is his second movie.
Because then Top fucking Gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was kind of waiting for that after the ending of Angel's Purge.
I'm a Tony Scott unabashed fan. I think that guy's great.
I couldn't remember if it was The Hunger. Because I remember like the deal was, we'll let you do The Hunger, but then you have to do this more studio movie. Yeah. So I didn't know if they released Top Gun first or second, but The Hunger was first.
Yeah.
Speaking of sophomore movies, was Angel's Purge your first feature?
So when I was an undergrad, I did like a $5,000 90-minute project with friends. So I don't think that really counts. Like if that counts, then the Dirk Diggler story is P.T. Anderson's first movie.
Yeah.
So we're going to put that in that category. And in that sense, Angel's Purge is my first feature, which is why I'm thinking about this sophomore thing of like, you know, the journeys you take and like stuff like that. So yeah, that's why it's on my mind.
Is there anything in the pipeline that you think you're going to do next?
Nothing I'm ready to talk about yet. I do have something I'm trying to put together for probably, I doubt we'd get it together in 15. It would probably be 16.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
But Angel's Purge has been doing well. We got picked up by Hulu, which was super exciting. And we did well on VOD and, you know, distribution is a weird landscape that I don't know much about, but I've been learning.
Yeah, and for the people who are just started listening, Charles was in a previous episode talking about his movie and other family movies. He was talking about family movies. And so check that episode out, Family Films.
We should have looked up what number that episode was.
I know.
So we can just send you right there.
Number 72.
Really?
No, I just made that up.
It could be.
Well, the magic of the internet, Ricardo can just post a link on the page.
Yeah, I'll post a link on the page. Okay, good. I'm waiting for that. I thought, it will be, you're thinking of a narrative or?
Yeah. Okay, I don't like docs.
Okay.
I don't watch them. I don't like making them.
Yeah.
I don't understand documentary.
Okay.
I was going to say, if you were making a documentary for 2016, you probably started like 5 years ago.
No, something like that.
Yeah. So where can people find you if they want to find you? Like,
CharlesHayne.com and, Facebook, Twitter. All of that stuff. Instagram. Been doing a lot of Instagram lately.
Nice.
I feel like that's kind of taken
over. It's the easiest.
Yeah. Because you don't have to be really like witty about it. Like mm-mm. Twitter, it's just like, it's a picture.
Yeah.
You could like it or not like it, whatever. You can find us, the podcast, at The Film Podcast on Twitter. And you could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Jhenigh, JHENEIGH.
I'm at Ann Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
There you go. Go like us on iTunes. It helps us. Whether you give us 1 star or 5, it doesn't matter. Just go and...
Does giving us 1 star really count as liking us?
Yeah.
Just go rate us. Yeah. I don't know if 1 star counts as liking.
I don't care.
Just give us a 5.
Hey, if you don't like it, you could say so on there. I don't give a shit.
Do you have to rate
no
us?
No one
to
who
comment?
Doesn't like it made it 2 hours into this episode. Just saying. If you're hate listening.
People who do who like hate listening. Yep. So yeah, if you made it this far.
Because then they'll go and they'll email you like all the things that they hated about it.
I'm so glad I don't read any of those emails.
Oh,
I'm
I got
so
it.
Sorry that
films
you
films about family, episode 31.
Whoa, ooh. Look at her.
December 3rd, 2013.
It was a year ago.
That was.
Wow. You were so much younger.
You were. Yeah.
More innocent.
I was 100 pounds lighter.
You looked like Eric Bana.
I looked like Eric Bana earlier. all right, guys. Hey, until next time, have a good week.